going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Do you think Carbat might be your father?
Potentially, yes.
This is Anne. We heard from her in episode 7. In 2017, Anne found out that she'd been conceived at Jan Carbat's fertility clinic. A few months ago, she submitted her DNA to the Dutch FIOM database. She wondered if Carbat could be her father.
Have you looked at pictures of him and looked for similarities?
You look for similarities in everyone around you now. It's not that I didn't, but I think you can find anything of yourself in anyone if you try your best. I think there is absolutely a chance of him being my dad. I have one sister and I'm very happy with her. And I can't really imagine my life with like more than one. So it would be a very weird experience to in one moment get so many other brothers and sisters.
So any moment from now on, you could find out that you're part of the Netherlands' biggest family.
Yeah.
Will you tell us when you get the news?
Yes. If you want to.
Oh, I want to hear the news.
Yes, I will.
We promised to keep you posted. Then, recently, she got back in touch to say she had news.
Oh my goodness.
It's not the news that I was hoping for, but it is news that gives a lot of answers.
I'm Jenny Kleeman, and from Something Else, this is a bonus update episode of The Immaculate Deception. A few weeks ago, we were all adjusting to life on lockdown. The first episodes of this podcast had been released. We were finishing work on the final episode in our separate homes when Paul rang me up and told me to switch on my microphone and start recording.
So last night I got a message from Anne. Shall I read you what she said?
Yeah, go for it.
Hi, Paul. We are doing okay. Working from home a lot. Today I got an update from FIOM. She said, do you want to hear the news or do you want to include Jenny?
Oh my God.
What do you think?
I have absolutely no idea. And I don't want to be one of these armchair geneticist DNA people because, it's quite tempting. You know, when we were sitting there with her, it was quite tempting to look for those traits, those Carbat traits in her, the physical traits. And I just don't want to go there. You just can't go there. So I have no idea. I have no idea what she's going to say, but it'll be life-changing either way. It's impossible because part of me thinks, oh, would she just not tell us if the answer was no? But I think she would tell us either way.
I think she's going to tell us. I mean, it was interesting because it was December when we met her, wasn't it? And we did the interview. We went in and we both looked at each other because we hadn't really seen any pictures of her before then. And then we looked at her and I think we both thought that maybe she doesn't look like a Carbat. Or like she doesn't look like Joey or Marcia or Inga, does she?
There is a very, very distinctive Carbat look and she doesn't have all of those elements. I feel like we can't go down that road. You just can't judge by how people look. There is a very distinctive Carbat look, but it's a spectrum, isn't it? And, he's at one end and the mother is at the other. And a lot of the kids are very, very similar, but they don't all have to be. I mean, I'm feeling nervous now For me to be feeling nervous, just imagine what it must be like for her to take the call to open the envelope. I cannot imagine to know that in the next few seconds, your entire sense of who you are, what your future is, who your family is going to change.
Ah, here we go. Okay, I've dialed the number. I'm going to call her now.
My heart is properly beating.
It says waiting. Come on, Anne.
This feels like a good time to pause for a moment to revisit Anne's story. We'd met her at her home by the sea, just outside The Hague. Anne's 31 now. She grew up just outside Rotterdam.
So tell me about what your parents told you when you were growing up. What did they tell you about where you came from?
No, my parents never told me anything different than they were my mum and dad. I think they lived the life for so long that they kind of became part of reality instead of that it felt like a lie.
But she said she'd always felt like an outsider in her family. She didn't fit in.
I always knew that something was up. I never knew what. I questioned a lot about, like, what do I have from my dad? And there never was a very direct answer, like, you have the same blue eyes or something, or your nose might be like your dad's father. It's just you are more like your mum.
The feelings came and went. She tried to live alongside them. But in June 2017... not long after she graduated from university, she was forced to confront them head on when she got a mysterious, unexpected message.
My mum texted, "Can we meet? It's important, so I don't want it to wait a few weeks. So could you maybe join me for Pinkster weekend?"
That's a Dutch bank holiday.
Dutch bank holiday. And we arrived, we sat down around the table. My mum, she prepared a letter for us to read because she was so nervous and it needed to get off her chest.
So what, you turned up at her house and she gave you a letter?
No, she read the letter.
She read
so
it out.
She wrote it all down for herself so she could tell the story properly. So she started telling, like, a long time ago they had a challenge. They had trouble getting pregnant. They, in the end, went to the Cobalt clinic. And then she looked at me and then I said, "I know." She says, "You know what?" I says, "My dad isn't my dad."
But it was more complicated than that.
So she told me that she doesn't know who my father is, but it's not for sure that it's not my dad.
Anne's father had a low sperm count. So her parents went to Carbat for fertility treatment with donor sperm. But they conceived her little sister naturally, without help. It was possible that Anne might have been conceived naturally too.
So they don't know if my conceiving was from sperm of my dad or sperm of the insemination by the Carbat clinic.
Even though Anne had always had doubts and suspicions, it was a lot to take in.
Didn't cry. I just sat there and accepted that there was still a lot unknown.
She had to wrap her head around the fact that not only did no one know for sure who her biological father was, but that her parents had kept the truth from her and made her question her own judgment. They were just following their doctor's orders. Carbat told them to keep it a secret, but it had serious consequences for Anne.
Everyone has told me a lie during my whole life. And I needed to believe that lie to maintain and to keep going instead of trusting myself. You have learned me to trust someone else's opinion instead of myself.
To doubt yourself.
To doubt myself. But also the feeling that I have inside couldn't be real because everyone around me is telling me differently.
Anne is very close to her mother, and she told me that after hearing the news, their relationship was stronger than ever. She spent the next couple of years processing it all. Then, last spring, she went to see the man she'd grown up thinking was her biological father. She hadn't seen him since her parents separated 13 years ago. He agreed to do a DNA test with her so she could be sure she hadn't been conceived naturally. 3 weeks later, the results came back. He wasn't her father.
There was this weight falling off my shoulders, finally being able to be me. I could finally just trust myself.
It was official. Anne was donor conceived. And that led to the next set of questions.
Okay, so what do I do now? A few months later, I found myself ready to find out, if my donor is known or if there are any half-brothers and sisters known.
She added her DNA profile to the FEOM database. They told her they'd first compare it to Carbat's to see if there was a match with him.
How does it feel being in that situation?
I try not to think too much about it. It's difficult because I'm really want to know when the first run is happened, because then I will know that I either belong to a very big group that is already known.
When you say the first run, do you mean finding out whether or not you're one of Corbett's children?
Corbett's children, and I think there are one or two other donors that are largely known in Holland.
Donors like Louis, one of Corbett's most prolific super donors. Because these men fathered so many children, it would be easy to see if Anne shared their DNA. We met Anne in December 2019. By spring 2020, that first run had finally taken place. Anne had just been given an update, and she was about to share it with us on FaceTime.
Waiting. She's the one who's still waiting.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Hi, Anne. How are you doing?
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So you look very excited, Anne.
Yeah, well, it's weird that I can give you an update. We didn't know if that was possible, and I can, so that's really nice, I think. I was eating my lunch, and we just spoke about... My boyfriend asked me whether I had any news, because it's in my agenda that this week I would get a call back. He said, did you hear anything from them yet? And I said, no, I haven't, but maybe it's due to Corona. So I will just send them an email to check in if they are able to give me any news. And I was writing the email, and then they called me.
Go on then. Give us the update. I have to tell you, Anne, my heart is really thumping here, and I'm not even the one receiving the life-changing news, so I can't imagine how you feel.
It's not the news that I was hoping for, but it is news that gives a lot of answers, but not the answer that I was looking for. So the news is that they have run my DNA against the database, and they haven't found any matches with any donors or any half siblings.
Oh my goodness.
The good news for me is that I'm not part of any big groups, and I'm not a child of Corbett.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been nice that there was a match with just, even if it's just one sibling, so you can start the process of recognizing yourself into someone else that is related to your dad.
Yeah.
So good news and a bit sad news.
How does it feel to know that you're not part of the Corbett family?
It's a relief. Yes. If I would handle it gracefully I'm very sure of that. But the fact that he told different stories about it towards my parents would have been an obstacle to overcome. And that would be the same with another super donor who has a lot of children.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy that I don't have to tell my sister or my mum that I have so many siblings. And yeah, that felt very good that I don't have to do that. Yeah.
But there's still a giant question mark over half of your identity.
Yes, the question why I started this search is not being answered in any way yet.
When you say it's not the result that you were hoping for, what result were you hoping for?
I was hoping that I would find one, even if it's just one sibling. Because I started this journey to find out more about my background and which character items that I have from my dad's side of the family, to get to know someone who is related to you from that side of the family and give you that recognition. That was something I really hoped for to find. And because Kobad is so much in the news, I was really hoping that anyone who who was born through this clinic might already have been donating their DNA to the database, so that the chances of me getting a match with just one person would be bigger than other clinics that were at the time in Holland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's very unfortunate to hear that is not happening at the moment.
You can do what you can to try and find out who you are, but you're relying on other people to do their bit. People who've donated, people who are other donor children, to do their bit, to put their pieces of the jigsaw puzzle there so that you can find out who you are.
And not only the donor children, because it's also the parents of those children telling their children that they are a donor child, because I was told at a late age, and I can imagine a lot of people are in the same position as my parents were at the moment of telling me. Mm. If they don't tell it, the children won't know and we will never ever be matched together. And yeah, that will give me no answers in any time in the future.
The jigsaw will never be complete.
No, there's a there is a chance, I don't know how big, that I will never, never know.
We take our genetic identity for granted. We assume we are who our parents tell us we are. But Anne has been left dependent on the generosity of strangers to try and discover who she is and who the children she'll one day have will be. The story of Jan Kobat is one of deception, fraud, malpractice and abuse. But it's also part of a much wider story that involves every person who was donor conceived before anonymous donation was banned in the Netherlands in 2004. Anne is part of a generation who are denied the right to know their genetic heritage. The first donor children conceived after 2004 will come of age this year and be allowed to discover who their biological fathers are. Anne's generation may never find out. She's left waiting, in limbo.
I need to keep on believing that one day, when the time is right, that I will find someone that is a match with me. It's more likely that it is a smaller group of people now, because I think that if it was a bigger group, it would have been known now. Mm. At least I'm keep hoping that.
Anne shared her news with us the day after she received it herself. It was still sinking in. Now she has to work out what her next steps will be, what international databases to try, where to look next.
Yeah, I have to see if I want to explore different avenues like the international side, or that I just keep on hoping that someone is going to register with our Dutch database. Yeah, we can just hope someone is listening now and feels that he or she might be able to have the courage to go to the database and registrate themselves so I can find some answers that I'm looking for.
If you think you can help Anne find those answers, let us know. Our email address is deception@somethingelse.com. The Immaculate Deception is a Something Else production. It was written and presented by me, Jenny Kleeman. Paul Smith is the producer, with additional production from Arlie Adlington. Mixing and sound design comes from Will Short at Spoke Media. The editor and executive producer is Peggy Sutton. Thank you to Magda Saron, Dan Cocker, Mark Rivers, and Steve Ackerman.